Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Second Chance at Eden by Peter F. Hamilton. Narrated by Stephen Crossley. Introduction. The stories assembled for this collection are set in the universe of my Night's Dawn trilogy. Now they form a series of snapshot glimpses into the history of the Confederation leading up to the time of Joshua Calvert and Quinn Dexter. It wasn't always so. During the early 90s, I wrote several short stories centred around the Affinity technology. They didn't belong to any particular hard and fast version of future history. I was just interested in the potential of the idea. Then along came David Garnett, who had just bought Candy Buds for his New Worlds anthology, and said, "You should turn this into a novel." "Impossible," I told him. That was back in the days of my foolish youth, before I learnt the hard way that the editor is always right. He convinced me to go away and think about it. Night's Dawn was the result. Okay, so I didn't get the last laugh, but at least I managed to frighten him with the size of Volume 1, the reality dysfunction. All 374,000 words of it. As to the stories themselves, some are new. Some have appeared in magazines before, in which case I've altered them slightly so they fit into the Confederation timeline. Peter F. Hamilton, Rutland, February 1998. Sunny's Edge. Earth, 2070. It was daylight, so Battersea was in gridlock. The M500 motorway above the Thames had taken us right into the heart of London at 150 kilometres an hour. Then, after we spiralled down an off-ramp onto the Chelsea Bridge, our top speed braked to a solid 1 km/h. Our venue was another 3 kilometres ahead of us. We joined the queue of chrome silver vehicles jamming the street, turning up the reflectivity of our own windscreen against the glare. Bikes slithered through the narrow gaps, their riders in slick-skinned cooler suits. Light horns flared and blared in fury as they cut through the two-way tailback, chasing after them like some kind of runway strobe effect. As if that wasn't bad enough, every vehicle on the road was humming urgently, hub motors and air conditioning vibrating the air at a frequency guaranteed to induce a migraine. 3 hours of that. I hate cities. Midday, and we rolled into the derelict yard like an old-fashioned circus caravan come to town. I was driver's mate to Jacob, sitting up in the ageing 20-wheeler's cab, feet up to squash the tideline of McRappers littering the dash. Curious roadies from the arena were milling about on the fractured concrete, staring up at us. The other two vans and our team's convoy turned in off the road. A big pair of dilapidated metal gates clanged shut behind us. Jacob locked the wheels and turned off the power cell. I climbed down out of the cab. The silvered side of the lorry was grimy from the city's air plaque, but my reflection was clear enough. Blonde bob hairstyle that needs attention. Same goes for the clothes, I guess. Sleeveless black T-shirt and olive-green Bermuda shorts I've had for over a year. Feet crammed into fraying white plimsolls. I'm 22, though I've got the kind of gaunt figure 30-year-old women have when they work out and diet hard to make themselves look 22 again. My face isn't too bad. Jacob rebuilt it to give me the prominent cheekbones I'd always wanted as a teenager. Maybe it wasn't as expressive as it used to be, but the distorting curves of the lorry's bodywork made it hard to tell. Outside the cab's insulation, London's sounds hit me square on along with its heat and smell. The three major waste products of 18 million consumers determined to preserve their lifestyle by spending and burning their way through domestic goodies and energy at a rate only 21st century industry can supply. And even that struggles to keep up with demand. I can plug straight into that beautiful hive of greed. Their need for a bite of the action. I know what they want best of all. We provide.